Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
And it's James who pops out, wants the ball, that gets to Reeves. Reeves with five, with four, guarded by Wiggins. Reeves takes a drive left side, drives and gets a layup with 1 second to go in the game. Curry in the backcourt gets it off, but I don't think it was in time. And somehow the Warriors give up a layup with 1 second to go to lose. 115-113 the final.
Oh, baby. Joe, baby, as we're saying right here this morning. Welcome in, ladies, gentlemen, boys, and girls. It is the morning roast. Spadoni in for Bonta Hill alongside Joe Shasky here. Tim Roy on the call last night as the Warriors fall to the Los Angeles Lakers. 115-113. Austin Reeves, late bucket after Stephen Curry has a flurry there to tie it up. But it wasn't enough. And the Warriors fans and everyone there leaves with a big fat lump of coal in their stocking and a sour taste in their mouth as this team, Joe Shasky, has lost 11 of their last 14 games. They're 15-14 on the year. They're now just 500 at home at Chase Center. Man, just a whirlwind 24 hours here and a whirlwind couple of weeks if you're a Golden State Warriors fan.
No doubt about it. What was the let's get into something fun here for just a quick second. Just a quick
Christmas
second.
Christmas was yesterday, so we can still have fun.
Yeah, all right. Like the Warrior game, that was sucky ending. It was fun.
It sucked.
For the last like
I like how you go
minutes.
Derek Carr there. It was sucky. That's what he says.
Well, I mean, I do mispronunciate a lot of things as I mispronunciate mispronunciations.
Thank you.
Like, for example, I ate a burrito at the break. Shout out Phil's. Bought you guys burritos. Bacon was the one that I happened to grab. It was delicious. How was the sausage?
It was great. I smashed it.
Carter,
big yours? Sausage guy.
Phenomenal.
And Cam, was yours good?
Thumbs up.
All right. And I go, yeah, that Cholula sauce was hitting. And he goes, dog, it's Cholula. Cholula.
Well, that's like if
it's hella good, though.
If Cholula
I love that.
Hot sauce and Lululemon had like a collaboration, it'd be Cholula. There you go.
Oh, there we go.
And I know you're a big Lululemon guy.
I do. It's well.
Did
it's
you get any for? What was the best gift you got?
Just seeing this year? My son.
That
sounds so corny.
You're full of crap.
Look, can
I had two of my kids, and that was not my favorite.
Joey, can I be real?
I got this. I got this nice gift. It was a nice little Levi's jacket. Yeah, we're matching. I didn't put it on because I saw you wearing it.
The Levi's.
We're not about to match on air right now. As we are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
I love those jackets. No, look. Full disclosure, I love Christmas. I live for Christmas. We had basically a sick house for like four straight weeks.
I know.
And my wife and I took turns as to who was sick, and the baby was sick. We didn't even get a tree this year.
Wow.
Not even
a fake one you guys have in the store or anything?
We didn't have the energy to just, like, the whole thing. And I was like, and I was really disappointed. I was like, this is just, he's over one now.
Yeah, he's one. He's not going to remember this year. So if any year you're going to probably do that, this one's probably fine.
That's what she said. Yeah. And she's like, look, I don't have the energy to do it right now. And there's just too much going on. So I did the majority of the shopping, the wrapping, which I'm not good at.
No, nor am I.
And me and my wife, we didn't exchange gifts this year. We got a lot of money tied up in a lot of different things, and there's a lot of stress and everything. And I was like, I don't need anything. You don't need anything. And thank God it was acceptable this year. Because sometimes they say that, and it's not accurate.
And then it's Christmas morning. It's like, where's my gift kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I always come through with the jewelry or something like
Correct.
That.
It's the same with an anniversary. I don't want anything. It's like, you got to get something there. Right?
Yeah. But
and they always say on Valentine's, I don't want anything, but you still get flowers just in case because you don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this shit didn't really get, I got some cool stuff. I got this, like, there's this thing that Will Smith's selling that the kids got me, one of my nephews and nieces.
Oh, boy.
You put it around your head. It's a ball on a string, and you, like, box it, and you start, like, working out. It was hilarious.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was trying to use it. It's very difficult.
Very difficult. Okay, but you'll be getting there. But before you know it, you're going to be Rocky Marciano. There you go.
Coach Askey.
We got some calls that wanted to get to. David and Gloria, 888-957-9570. So on top of the Lakers' win over the Warriors last night, there is also a big discussion happening on ESPN. It's happening on Fox Sports, wherever you're looking right now. The NFL versus the NBA. Why are we talking about that? Well, because the NFL had two games yesterday, and LeBron James took notice.
I love the NFL. I love the NFL, but Christmas is our day.
He thinks NBA, it's still Christmas, all right? Is it still the NBA's day on Christmas? Well, I don't think so. Maybe Chasky and I think differently. I don't think we do on this. Do you think differently? Do you still think Christmas Day should be NBA's day? Are you saying, you know what, the NFL is just the better product right now? Maybe the NFL should own Christmas. 888-957-9570. Not just the NFL, quite frankly. If I'm college football, I'm also looking at that. Because, you know what, last weekend, college football went head-to-head with the NFL, and they didn't care.
No.
That's just football on football crime right there. But that's just the nature of the sport right now. It's at an all-time high. I think people just think NFL and think they're the king. No, no, no. College football is right there. Right there.
It's the second most viewed thing in America.
Yes.
NFL's number one. Well, politics is one or two, depending on what year it is.
Yeah.
NFL number one in terms of non-politics. College football number two. And this year, yeah, I know NBA people don't want to hear it. Baseball outdrew the NBA, you know, in terms of the finals versus the World Series.
I mean, you got Dodgers, Yankees, like the most iconic brands.
One, yeah.
You had Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge. It was literally a perfect storm for them, probably. Now, the year prior, Rangers, D-backs, probably an all-time low.
No
right?
doubt. But I would also say that baseball, to their credit, coinciding with Yankees, Dodgers, which they got extremely lucky on, they changed their rules. And they started tweaking them. And when they did that, everyone in unison is like, yeah, those were the right decisions. And I look at the NBA and I'm like, something's kind of got to give here. I think you need to tweak the schedule. I think you need to tweak the rules. Something's got to give.
There you go. Jack Nicholson, something's got to give. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And by the way, Joe Shasky, don't miss the kickoff show next Monday with Willard and Dibs, live 2 hours before the start of the game. Join us at the Hilton Santa Clara for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay Area, presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit habaslaw.com. That team that wears red and gold, I guess, is still playing. Their season's still going on. I forgot about it already. It's just been that kind of just a forgetful season.
There was a moment.
49ers.
Sorry, Joey.
No, you're fine.
There was a moment where CMC went and visited a bunch of kids in the hospital.
That was very cool.
It was amazing, right?
And what did you see in that picture?
Well, they showed him walking around with the leg brace, and then all of the Twitter doctors came out of left field saying, oh, looks like he did have surgery on that leg. Otherwise, he'd have a little more mobility. And I was like, oh, boy. I don't know what else to say. Just, oh, boy.
PCL injury?
I mean, it's not good.
What is good with the 49ers right now? That's what I do want to know. Maybe we can get to the Niners maybe in the 9 o'clock hour.
In fact, they haven't paid Brock yet.
Oh, well, they're going to. Don't get it twisted. They're going to pay that man a lot of money. You know why? They don't have a choice. They don't have
you
a choice.
Always have a choice.
888-957-9570. Yes, it's the choice of a new generation. David in Maryland.
Hey,
you're
Maryland.
On the Morning
David,
Roast.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing this morning?
You know, a little wet.
I'm swell.
In the rain.
I'm doing swell, David.
How's the soft shell crab in Baltimore?
Oh, I mean, it's great. It's actually pretty great. I love eating crabs, man. You know, Maryland's all about their crabs. It's a little chilly out here, but, you know, I could really go for that California weather. But, yeah, man, I'm not feeling good, guys. I actually called last night. After the game, and I called and I specifically complained about Steve Kerr. And of course, I received pushback from the host because for some reason, there seems to be like an almost an avoidance on solely putting the blame on Kerr. Well, here's what I'll say, and I'm going to double down again. Our losses is on Steve Kerr. but it's also on LeCole for continuing this experiment that I feel like Kerr is enforcing.
What's that?
And making Warriors fans suffer
through. What is that? What is
the young players experiment. Let's give them time. Let's be patient. I understand that there is patience that you need to have, but we saw the same thing with James Wiseman. It didn't turn out right. And I just feel like that's the same thing that's going on here. I mean, pretty personally, I don't think that I can say that the front office is doing everything in their power to maximize Steph Curry. There's a guy that I want to shout out on YouTube. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. But he's pretty prominent in the Warriors fan base community, and he goes by the name of Jim Park, J-I-M-P-A-R-K. Love that guy. I'm sorry. Yeah. But he's constantly pointing out these small ball lineups that Kerr seems to be obsessed with. You know, you got Curry, Buddy, Pods on the floor. You got Dennis, Pods, Curry on the floor. Buddy, take your pick, with either Kuminga or Wiggins almost consistently playing out of position at the power forward spot. It's driving me crazy. Why is Slow-Mo DNP'd? He's not injured. Let him come in and play our power forward. To me personally, if I was you guys, I'd take Jim Park's video.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You think that Kyle Anderson should be playing the floor and the four, excuse me, and that Draymond should be playing the five?
I also don't think that's a good idea.
Well, okay.
I don't think that Draymond, and I know you probably, yeah, we probably don't have many options here, but I also don't agree with Draymond Green playing the five. Yes, I don't agree with that.
What don't you agree with? That's when he's been at his most effective. It's not even debatable. He's clearly a five at this point in his career, and I know that he wants to play alongside TJD, and you can give me advanced numbers on their defensive metrics and this, that, and the other, but like TJD's not a threat. And so the same thing can be said about Kyle Anderson. Yes, he can make a couple of plays off the dribble, but when you have a bunch of non-shooters out there to close the game, where's the offense coming from?
I see what you're talking about, but do you honestly think that Draymond Green can go toe-to-toe for the 82-game season with the bigs that we have in this league today? Draymond Green is not a center. Let's be real. Draymond Green's not a center.
Actually, I disagree with you. So this is, I've said this
before, David.
I think the only place he can play currently is center. And I think that, no, he's not an 82-game-a-year guy. He's like a 55-to-60-game-a-year guy with about 20 minutes a game. That's what he is. He's 35.
I mean, on this team, he's absolutely a center, too.
Yeah.
Like, who else are you playing there?
You're not playing TJD down the stretch.
Looney played 5 minutes there yesterday. He wasn't playing in that game.
And it's not his fault, but he comes flying out of LeBron. LeBron goes right by him for a dunk. You know, like, yeah.
By the way, Kyle Anderson, he was mentioning, I think he had, like, flu-like symptoms. Technically, he could have played, but I think Kerr just did not want him to play yesterday.
Look, in this situation, somebody's going to be the odd man out, right? Whether it's Bielitsa from a couple years ago or whether right now it's Kyle Anderson. Someone on any given night is going to be the odd man out. Because
Moses Moody didn't play.
I mean, we're not even talking about GP2 right now because he's hurt and he would be in the mix as well.
They hurt his calf again.
You know, so I look at this team and it's like, hey, look, they have to get scoring from somewhere, and then you have to have certain people who can play alongside Steph Curry in the half court down the stretch. Otherwise, it becomes even more congested than it currently is. Kuminga has to play on this team down the stretch, 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, well, offensively and defensively. I need the size there. Like, I watched yesterday, to your point, Dennis Schroeder just get picked on from LeBron. Brandon Pajemski at times just get picked on from LeBron. All these guys, just size matters. Shout out Bob Fitzgerald. He said it best. Size matters when it comes to these things.
Size matters.
Thank you. And far too often when the Warriors play the Lakers, that's the difference. And the frustrating part is they didn't even have Anthony Davis yesterday, who's their big beast in the middle. And I heard who was a big smooth, like, just the lack of attacking the rim. Like, that's what I thought I was going to get with Schroeder, by the way. It's just those cuts to the rim where he can actually, like, do that. But credit to the Lakers. I mean, Christie, big. Austin Reeves, I know you're not looking at these guys as defensive juggernauts, their size affected them.
But they do a great
job. Dalton Connect, not a guy known for his defense. He's known for three-point shots. His size affected them.
They do a great job, though, of when you have Anthony Davis, you can funnel these weaker defenders to Anthony Davis at times, and you can get away with it. It's never going to be perfect. Look, offense will always beat great defense. I know there's this misnomer. Defense wins championship. Bucket getting. Yeah, you got to play situational defense at times. Bucket getting is the number one important thing.
Yeah.
Getting buckets down the stretch. You show me a champion, and I'll show you at least multiple bucket getters on that team.
Right now, the bucket getter you thought you were going to have, and you did have him for the first part of the season. He was great, and it was Buddy Buckets, and it was this, that, and the other. But he healed has not done anything. Like, what has he done?
Nothing.
Nothing. 17 minutes off the bench yesterday, 2 of 6, 1 of 5 from beyond the arc. Just 5 points, a big nothing burger, basically.
A left-handed layup.
Exactly. By the way, Carter sent me this, and this is just a little, it's a small sample size, but I think it's worth monitoring. They made the acquisition, and they got Dennis Schroeder. In 4 games with the Golden State Warriors, he's averaging 8 points, shooting 28% from the floor, 23% from beyond the arc, 4 assists, and 2 turnovers per game. Juxtapose that with what he was doing with Brooklyn when he was averaging 18 points, shooting 45% from the floor, 38% from beyond the arc, and having 6.6 assists per game. The turnovers are basically the same, but 4 games, and that's startling.
Well, it tells me it's really difficult to assimilate to a Steph Curry offense, which is one of the other things that, look, he's great. But playing alongside of him is tough. And a lot of people would like to, in theory, play alongside of him. But I think it's more difficult than people give it credit for. Like, how many times when a new player comes to the Warriors, do you find them trying to get open and they land in the same spot Steph's trying to occupy? Whether it's in the corner, on the wing, whatever. And Steph's like, no, keep moving, keep going. It happens a lot.
It's a great point, and I thought it was interesting. And Gloria and Antonio, I see you guys online. We'll get to you in a second. And we got Anthony Slater joining us here in about 13 minutes, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Can't wait to talk some dubs with Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider. But watching the Olympics over the summer, Joe Shasky, watch Steph try to, you know, play this different style than he's used to. And Steve Kerr obviously having to tinker that when you have a Tatum who didn't get to play sometimes, or a Joel Embiid, or an Anthony Davis, LeBron, Anthony Edwards, all these different players. And it was so refreshing to see this kind of different offense. And obviously it's a team of juggernauts. It's an all-star lineup. It's different. But just watching those last few games when Steph put the team on his back, and it was him, and it was LeBron, and it was pick and roll, and it was just LeBron finding Steph. It was just so refreshing to watch. And did you see before the game, I think it was Whitley Sandrino, our great great digital coordinator, and does a great job for our social media, Whitley Sandrino, doing a hell of a job covering the Dubs this season. She had the video of LeBron and Steph before the game even started, and the embrace that one LeBron James had for Stephen Curry when Steph was just warming up, and the bro hug that he gave him, that's the happiest I've ever seen LeBron be with Stephen Curry.
You know, and people don't want to hear this, but the reality is LeBron's like the ultimate perfect shooting guard alongside Steph. Size, ball handler, can knock down a shot, can put the ball into the post if they need him to.
He can do everything.
Find Curry off ball.
Not selfish.
I mean, like, I know nobody wants to hear it, but, like, even at this stage, go around the league. Tell me who was a better two-guard to complement. Like, because I know LeBron can play any position he wants. We all understand that. But, like, as a combo guard, you're telling me LeBron's not the dude to pair alongside of him?
I mean, yes. I don't think they're going to get him.
We're talking about a 1 or 2 year thing here.
Yeah. What's it going to take to get up a LeBron? Again, we're having this conversation. You give up the farm for, you're going to have to give up Andrew Wiggins. Does that make you a totally better team? Like,
definitely more watchable.
Oh, yes, that's yes, they are more watchable. Like,
no, I don't think you're quote unquote a better team. See, in this scenario, you'd have to keep Wiggins to be alongside those two.
Exactly,
because I think he's perfect alongside.
And the salary, you're gonna have to be exactly like that. The other thing in all this, the salary matches all the sources. LeBron's making $56 million.
Yeah,
think so whatever Jimmy Butler's making, right?
Like, well, so, he took $2 million less so that his son could get that other $2 million.
That's a good father right there. That's actually Father of the Year. We're doing Doobie Awards. You guys have a Father of the Year category. It's not Bonte. It's not Shasky. It's not Spadoni. It's LeBron James for getting Bronny James drafted. That's what should have been the Doobie Award. Can we amend that? Can we send LeBron
that.
A trophy?
I like that.
He deserves it. Yeah. Gloria is in San Francisco. She wants to join in the conversation. Hey, Gloria. How you doing? You're on with Spadoni and Shasky. Gloria.
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call. Shasky, I've been sick. My whole household have been sick the past week. And Christmas was a real labor of love. It was just one thing after the next, and it is all about the kids. But I will say I knew the NBA was on, And I still headlined the Warriors, of course.
Of course.
That was must-see TV. Anytime you get LeBron and Steph together, it's going to be great theater. LeBron brings out the best in Steph and vice versa. I just think that Reeves and the Japanese guy killed us yesterday. Without AD, we had a great opportunity, and we didn't seize the moment. They wouldn't take it in the paint, and when they tried to, the Lakers' length posed a problem for the Warriors, and they're just talent deficient. And I don't know what it's going to take for them to work through this. One of the callers said earlier that the Warriors have always done best with acquiring free agents. And I do believe that that's going to be the thing to get them over in the window. Steph is there. They won't go and get more size. I don't know why. Maybe there's no one available. But their athleticism as a team is minimal to none.
Mm-hmm.
So they really have to address some things. They're just a mediocre, slightly above 500 team with a mega superstar on it.
So true.
That's my comment.
It's a great call, and I hope your family feels better. It is the worst when the family is all sick. It goes in stages.
Sucks when anyone's sick during the holidays, too. Like, even if you have, like, a brother or sister that's not feeling good, you want everyone feeling good on Christmas. It's supposed to be a day everyone's supposed to be happy. I remember my brother had a horrible stomach virus one year, and just he was just isolated by himself. Robbie, if you're listening.
The Spadoni super spreader?
Yeah, right? Yeah, Robbie, that's him. Yeah.
That's what we call, so, like, as a joke, we call the Porter super spreader, which is, like, anytime we get all of the Porter family together. Because there's like 60 of us,
yeah,
you know this.
Exactly.
And, like,
yeah.
And it's like someone is bound to be sick, and you're just going to spread it to everyone.
Exactly. I have 15 nieces and nephews, so there you go.
Yeah.
So there you go, right there.
The amount of runny noses.
Oh, it's gross.
Oh, my God.
It's gross. Hopefully it's just clear. If it's clear, it's okay, and it's runny, but if it's different color, get the hell away from me. Antonio in Oakland. He wants to join in before we get Anthony Slater on here. What's going on, Antonio?
How are you doing? Seeing you last week.
Yeah, did you have a good Christmas, Antonio?
Yeah, it was pretty good. You know, other than, you know, losing to like the Lakers and all that on Christmas when,
I hate to see
you know
that.
What I'm saying, like, Steve Kerr needs to adapt, get a big guy. You know, we shot too many threes, drive to the lane when Anthony Davis is not there. You know, I don't like losing to, LaBalco James at all. You know, I never want him on the Warriors because he would take all the credit. You know, we'll need him around here, man. But anyway, man, Steve Kerr.
Hey, Antonio, you see how happy LeBron was to hug Steph before that game? Come on, that gave you a little bit of a smile, right?
No, not really. Not at all, man. He's the rival right there, man. Like, he is. He always been in the
way. All right, but what if we could get him in a trade?
If we got him in a trade, I would still root for the Warriors, of course. And maybe he might be the right fit, like you said. He's ball handling and all that. At the end of the day, man, the one thing I did notice, Draymond Green does not play fiery versus guy because his clutch client buddy, he never plays fiery at all whatsoever.
Facts.
He used to before he became a clutch guy, but now, like, every time he faces a foreign player, he'd be all fiery and ready to swing at him. But LaBalco, he don't do that. He bows down now. I don't like that.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, Antonio.
Can you please play? Okay, so they're at the free throw line, and Draymond is in between two Lakers.
We got it.
And I, all of a sudden, I look up, and I'm like, what's he doing?
Here we go.
On Green. This was odd.
Oh, well, I don't think, okay, first of all, they're not allowed to lock arms, and they didn't lock arms, and then Draymond pulls the phone down. Draymond, that's a foul.
It's Richard Jefferson, Mike Breen, and Doris Burke on ESPN. It was Dalton Connect on his right-hand side and Rui Hachimura on his left at the free throw line, and he does this Red Rover move, and, like, locks arms with them and falls back.
Like a trust fall.
Yeah, I was like, what are we doing?
Joe, I don't know what he's doing.
Scott then, Foster looking at him like, what the hell are you, what's going on here?
That was
actually a tamed Scott Foster game for the most part. He didn't make his presence very known at all.
It was, well, he didn't need to.
He didn't need to.
You know, I just, Draymond, we can't go a game. It's just always something.
Always.
And then he's in the corner. You look, honest to gosh, I feel like there are days where I'm like, if I left Draymond in the corner on an empty gym, I think he'd struggle to hit two in a row.
Well, the Lakers,
look at Carter shaking his head.
J.J. Redick probably literally told his team, yeah, let him shoot those threes. J.J. Redick, one of the great three-pointer shooters of his time, said, yeah, let Draymond shoot those. That's fine. And he made one, and JJ's probably like, great, yeah, keep going, keep going, keep shooting. one made shot. One made shot for Draymond Green. Anthony Slater on the other side, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. He's our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider, and that's what's coming up in the game, sponsored by Lucky California.
Dub Nation, is Buddy Hill. Listen to the Morning Roast for Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
You know,
better hit those break, Bonte.
I've been hitting them, buddy. Spadonian for Bonte. What's up, Joe?
No, I was going to say, my favorite part of this song is the ha-ha when the snowman's just doing all his ad-libs. You can't tell me nothing.
What is this? Ha-ha! Graduation? It's his best album. And maybe I'm partial to that because it came out when I was a freshman in high school.
Dropout's pretty good.
It's good. Graduation for me has the bangers, has the beats.
Bangers.
Yeah, they are. I miss the old Kanye.
Maybe some say Kanye might have been right the whole time.
Relax. That could go way too many different ways right there. 888-957-9570.
That's what I heard. That's not what I said. That's what I heard.
Don't miss the kickoff show next Monday at Willard and Dibbs live 2 hours before the start of the game. Join us at the Hilton Santa Clara for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay Area presented by Habits Law. You've been wronged. Habits Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabitsLaw.com. All right, we got Anthony Slater on the line, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, Spadonian for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. Lakers 115, Warriors 113 yesterday. Anthony, first and foremost, though, did you have a good Christmas, bud?
A Christmas spread?
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah. Oh, did I have a good Christmas? I mean, I worked for like the 12th straight Christmas.
Oh.
It was solid. My kid's almost two now. He kind of got it a little bit more this year, I guess. So I saw him. He was actually at the game yesterday, which that was the first time he's been at a game.
Double R special?
No, he wasn't on Ritter Row. I call Ritter Row that last section in 120. But everything's a double R special at this point.
I like that.
There's so much to unpack from this game. And I'm going to start here because it's a small sample size, but it's been four games now of the Dennis Schroeder experience with Golden State. And hasn't looked good, Anthony. Too early to call this a bust?
Yes, it's too early. It's four NBA games, but not good ones, I would agree. 11 made shots in four games total, 11 to 39. 4-17 from three, and three of those threes actually came last night. He hit a big one down the stretch, I will say. But yeah, he's not shooting it that well. He's streaky, and he's, you know, Warriors got him on a bad streak, number one, and two, obviously he's adjusting, and I'd like to see them run more, you know, design pick and roll action for him, and yeah, he'll be better. He'll hit more shots. I do kind of like what he does defensively, but yeah, I don't know. It hasn't been good. And pretty much everything they're trying second unit wise isn't really working right now.
No, it's not. But what does work, whether it's the NBA as a large or these two individually, and I guess the rivalry that's grown, it's just the LeBron and Steph thing, man. 5 minutes to go, I'm going to be long-winded here, but 5 minutes to go, he checks in. Yeah, Steph does. He hits a three, cutting it to five. LeBron answers back over Dennis Schroeder. LeBron high pick and roll to Christie. Then Curry to Kuminga on the baseline cutter. Then LeBron blocks a shot. Schroeder hits a three. And then Curry hits the layup. I mean, it was back and forth and back and forth. And Curry hits a shot over LeBron late. Like, man, these are all-time greats, and I feel like, I know you don't, and I know that there's a segment of the fans that don't. We're going to miss this matchup, man, LeBron versus Curry. This is some legendary stuff, the two of them. They bring the best out of each other.
Good post-game interview by LeBron, too, kind of calling out the NFL a little bit, I thought. Yeah, it was, you know, it was, it should be appreciated. What was that, like 53rd regular season matchup? You add all those finals together, I'm sure they're up into the 70s of games played. I thought the summer was cool to see them together with Durant. I mean, I think, you know, that
in history that Olympics will be appreciated for those guys finally coming together. And it's kind of become a little bit of a love affair between those two, a bromance, I believe Steve Kerr has called it.
You see before the game, you know, Anthony, that bro hug from LeBron?
Well, and he came out and, he's trying to block the shot. Like, you would have never seen that a few years ago, right? They were still trying to, have this, warfare approach. And, I think there was a slight bit of animosity at a time, but that's no longer, there's definitely a bromance.
You bring up what LeBron said in the postgame. Joe has the sound right here. We'll play it for you, and then I'll ask you a quick question.
I love the NFL, but Christmas is our day.
Yeah, I disagree with him on that one. It might have been their day one point in time, kind of like how my dad used to beat me in the backyard playing hoops. And then one day, I dunked on him in the backyard on the mini hoop. And he realized, even though he won the game that day, that the end was near. And I still think that the NFL is coming for everything that the NBA has on Christmas, and this is going to be their formula moving forward. Next year, Christmas will be on a Thursday, so I'm assuming there'll be three or four NFL games. What is your thought league-wide when it comes to NFL versus NBA?
Yeah, I mean, look, the rating numbers are going to come out, and I think it's like obviously the NFL is going to get bigger numbers, exponentially, just because more people watch the NFL, more people watch particularly regular season NFL games. I still think playoff basketball is where the league makes its money, and I still think playoff basketball is appointment viewing. We can remember even, forget, obviously LeBron and Steph were exited early last year, but those Timberwolves second round series was good. I thought the NBA Finals, personally, I was interested in it. But the NFL is a Goliath that is only growing, and you're right, they're going to play, if they're going to play Christmas on a Wednesday, I mean, at this point, they'll probably play it on a Tuesday too, right? It would probably
100%.
Yeah, they'd probably just be pushing Monday Night Football back. Well, it would probably be consistent.
They have the Saturday in front of it. I don't mean to cut you off, but they utilized that Saturday game last week, basically college football's off, and now they have the playoff, but they were like, hey, we'll stagger this so that if you play on a Saturday and you play on a Wednesday after, it's like going Sunday to Thursday.
Yeah, and it just is what it is. You just look, Mahomes and Lamar Jackson were playing yesterday, and yeah, that probably bit into some of the ratings for Wimby against the Knicks, but that Wimby Knicks game was great. I mean, I cover the NBA, so I'm more interested in the NBA. I watched the Knicks Spurs game. I'm assuming you guys watch the Chiefs Steelers? Or were you kind of flipping back and forth?
Yeah, it's the Steelers, too. Like, the Steelers brand is giant, and you can't really flip back and forth. Once you get into Netflix, you got to hit exit, and you got to go to whatever your show, whether it's Xfinity or YouTube TV, and you got to stream into that, and you got to change the channel. Like, it's not like it was back in the day.
Yes, Anthony, we watched football all morning up until Warriors.
And it wasn't our choice. This is like in a family room setting where
it was my choice.
Well,
yes.
For me, it wasn't. I was at someone's house.
That's all fine, but the NBA can't just demand the NFL not do it. You just put good games on. You hope you have better games than the NFL. And honestly, yesterday it was better theater. The NBA was much better, competitive games. Even that Mavs Wolves game was good. That morning game, I mean, Wimby scoring 42, that was good. I mean, Warriors Lakers went about as good as you can ask for if you're an NBA fan. So they did what they could do. They can't just hope and pray that the NFL does something that we know they're not going to do, which is not play on Christmas. So just put as good a product on the TV as you can and hope the games are better than the NFL. And, there's a lot of money to be made. Let me tell you, you saw the NBA's new TV deal. Like, they're doing all right.
Yes, I was also a little concerned. I was just, taking a macro view of everything. The fact that, and I get it, iconic brands, iconic players, you got LeBron, you got Steph. The fact of the matter is, both these teams are probably going to be play-in teams or fringe play-in teams at the end of the day.
They sure feel like it.
Not having a defending champion, Boston Celtics, right after the window's over. Not having them playing, I don't know, a finals rematch. Because it felt like in years past, Anthony, that was what it always was. Mm-hmm. It was either a finals rematch or a preview of what the NBA finals could be going forward. The fact that no one really cared, and again, this is my bubble, but no one seemed to care outside of probably Boston and Philly, and how Philly probably didn't even care that much because they're focused on Jalen Hurts and his injury, what's going on with the Eagles. But no one cared that the defending champs were playing yesterday, and I think that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, Boston's a little dull right now. They're in that repeat stage where the season's getting a little you know, it's dragging all on there waiting for April. You know, Philly's obviously having a disaster year. It was actually, you know, the game was interesting, though. It was close, and, like, Philly really needed the win, and they finally had their guys together, and they did get the win. But, look, if people aren't that into it, they're not that into it. I'm not sure, like, Boston against you know, Dallas would have done much better. I actually kind of like the Mavericks-Timberwolves matchup. They're clearly trying to feature, you know, newer stars in the earlier windows. I thought the Thunder should have played. I think that was a miss by the league yesterday.
Agreed.
I would have featured them. But, you know, you had Wimby and MSG, and he scored 42. I mean, the league's got to be fist-pumping a little bit about that. I don't know. Like, we'll see how much he resonates, but I think he's got a chance to. I mean, him with the Spurs brand is probably not, you know, as perfect as the league would have liked. But, you know, I would say overall, you know, in what has obviously been a rough patch for the NBA from, you know, just public, you know, consciousness and what people are talking about, I thought yesterday was actually a mini win for them.
Okay, fair enough. What about what's going on with the Warriors internally? You know, before the game, we hear reports that Steph had to address the entire team. Give us some elaboration on this, because the last time I heard of something like that was, I mean, going back to what, the King series, you know, from a couple of years ago. I mean, I'm sure there's been other things. So, yeah, just what's going on there?
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, Kings prior to Game 7, you know, tents in the room, like, you know, don't come up to Sacramento with us if you're not all in the boat type, you know, speech. It was just basically like, hey, this is like an important time of the season. I talked to Kevon Looney a little bit about it in the locker room postgame, and he was like, look, this happens like 8-10 times a year, right? You know, you have kind of what feels like an important moment and stuff that needs to be said, and, you know, the leaders talk, and sometimes it's Draymond, and when Steph talks, like, that's, you know, that's an elevated level of listening from everyone in the franchise. And his point was, like, the urgency is now. Like, it's kind of like, if it does feel like the next few weeks dictates where this thing goes, I think Steph wants to, you know, get back to a better place in the standings by the time they get closer to the trade deadline, closer to the All-Star break, where it feels like they're, you know, they might have to save their season or not at the trade deadline. So I think he just, when they went 12-3, he you could feel how encouraged he was, because it didn't feel like the last few years. It looked like they were going to have a level of a cushion where, for example, they're about to have a back-to-back in L.A. and at home against Phoenix. And you could feel comfortable resting Steph if you were higher in the standings. Now suddenly you're like, oh, Steph has to rest one of these two. Like, that's not a place that the Warriors want to be, but they found themselves in that place. And I just think, again, the pregame player-led meeting yesterday, it wasn't anything crazy. Honestly, they've had much tenser meetings, you know, the last two seasons, many after the preseason punch that everybody knows about. Or, you know, I can remember a couple from last year after some bad Klay Thompson shot selection nights that included, like, talking to Klay about, you know, kind of toning that down. So, to me, they're in a fine place, I think, internally in general. They're just not winning games. They're not closing out games. They're terrible in crunch time. And you're going to have somewhat bad vibes when you're losing, because that's how sports is. But I'm not looking at it saying, hey, this is an internal issue. I'm looking at it saying, like, this might be, like, you know, a talent issue, a second unit issue, whatever, a scoring issue for sure, their offense.
So what is the big difference from the 12-3 start to whatever the hell we've seen over the last 15 or so games?
I mean, I think their offensive rating is like 24th in the league or something like that over the last 14. So they're just like the Washington Wizards offensively, or, you know, whatever, name your lottery team. I think Steph's had a cold patch. He had scored a season high last night, but, you know, entering the game, he was like 38% overall in December. If you look at all their best wins this season, he's kind of rescued them late. Boston, Oklahoma City, the Klay game at home. And he hadn't been able to do that a lot. Last night he kind of did rescue them, and then they had a defensive lapse. And now you're starting to look at those games that could swing either direction, like a game at Houston, for example, where they have the loose ball foul, or, you know, last night where they let the blow by with Austin Reaves with no help. Like, those games become really critical when you lose all those swing games, and they're losing a bunch of swing games.
Talking to Anthony Slater, our Warriors insider, for 95.7 The Game and for The Athletic, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Anthony, just the inability yesterday for the Warriors to take advantage of basically no Anthony Davis. He leaves the game after 7 minutes and doesn't return with an ankle injury. Why could they not take advantage of more of that at the rim?
They don't have a lot of, like, rim pressure guys. You know, they've been playing Trayce Jackson-Davis more lately. He's been solid. I thought he was more impactful the couple games prior than he was yesterday. You know, Kuminga got himself to the line 8 times, 6 of 8, but he still had a pretty inefficient night. I think he was 4 of 10. You know, Dennis Schroeder, we were talking about it earlier, he has not given them the offensive burst that they hoped he would. And, you know, he's just like, it's not a rim pressure team. You know, Andrew Wiggins is as good of a season as he's having defensively and from three. He's not what he used to be as like a rim attacker. And it's one of the weaknesses of their team. And they did not exploit Davis being out last night. And then Austin Reeves also torched him. I mean, Austin Reeves was excellent. He played like a number two star basically last night next to LeBron.
What's going on with Draymond's ankle? And so he just looks very physically compromised. And you see him in the corner offensively over and over and over again. And he can't hit the right side of a barn. What's going on with Draymond right now?
I mean, he's banged up, right? You know, like the calf, the ankle, the back. He's 34 now, nearing 35. He's been an undersized, like, bruising center his whole career. We've seen, you know, the athleticism kind of wane where, you know, he's not blocking shots or, like, kind of rebounding as powerfully as he used to. It's just kind of what he is in his career. He's got to win with smarts. And over the course of an 82-game season, he's going to get banged up. And it's why they're so adamant they want to, you know, limit his minutes at center, particularly in the regular season, which has had a domino effect that's hurt Kuminga rotation-wise and, you know, kind of forced Kuminga to you know, maneuver around Draymond at that power forward spot. So it's not an ideal situation, but this is Draymond Green at 34 years old over the course of a season. Like, you got to kind of expect he's going to be banged up.
And obviously the biggest story, and we'll let you go at this one, Anthony, the biggest story everyone woke up to yesterday in regards to the NBA, Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. And according to sources, Sham Sharania, your former teammate at the Athletic, now at ESPN, you know, Jimmy prefers trading out of Miami. Warriors, their interest level, do you expect them to be interested? And what could a potential trade package look like for one Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a saga that I'd probably assume is going into January and potentially into February right next to the trade deadline. Will the Warriors be interested? Yeah, I mean, they'll continually kick the tires on this. Obviously, Butler's, you know, pretty publicly, it's out there that he's identified the Warriors as one of the places he'd be interested in landing. It's tricky from a Warriors perspective to build the salaries and stay under the, you know, a first apron, which they have to do. You know, just because of what Jimmy Butler makes, Andrew Wiggins is probably going to have to be in the trade. Andrew Wiggins has been their second, third best player this year. He's shooting like 43% from three. He's their best perimeter defender. Take away that Austin Reeves drive last night. So it's, you know, if you're trying to make a big win now move, you don't really want to give up Andrew Wiggins, but you're probably going to have to just for salary building purposes. If Dennis Schroeder is to be in that deal, which I'm not saying he would or wouldn't, but if he is to be in that deal, you have to wait until basically the day before the trade deadline to aggregate him in a salary or in a trade because, you know, just trade rules in the NBA. Kuminga, you know, you would think Miami would want him theoretically in a deal. You know, are picks on the table? Are they not? That would be, you know, the level of bartering. But it's a challenging trade to make. And then Jimmy Butler is coming in with, he has a $50 million player option next year that he's hinting that he wants to decline because he wants a big extension deep into his 30s at mega money, right? At least 50 plus if he's going to decline the option. Is that something you want to take on as a franchise that you know, with the Warriors that's aging very quickly? Some people would say yes, go all in, you know, give whatever it takes, you know, ride the
what would you do? What would you do?
That potential Jimmy Butler extension scares me. I don't run teams. I try not to opinionate too deeply about it. They have more on, like, Jimmy Butler's medicals. I would want to see those, right? I mean, he's definitely dealt with some injury issues over the last few years, knee issues. I'd want to know more. I'd want to know the exact trade package that would have to be given up. I'd be concerned, like I said, about giving Wiggins up in this type of deal, because if you're doing this type of deal, you want to win now, and to win now, you would want Andrew Wiggins, and you basically couldn't have him. So I'd be hesitant. I don't know how y'all feel. I mean, no, I understand
I feel the exact same way as you, and this is where, and I'm going to say something, and everyone's going to be triggered, but it's like, Yeah, I'd much rather give up Draymond than Andrew Wiggins right now if we're trying to win now. And I look at the different combinations. Problem is that, you know, that feels like a non-starter, whether it's for Kerr, Curry, the organization. I don't know. It feels like a non-starter. And then simultaneously, they need some of the things that Draymond brings to the table defensively. And I don't know if Miami would take him, but I wouldn't. I don't want Jimmy Butler, and I don't want to give him $55 million. Like, no, that does not seem enticing at all.
Yeah, it's a desperate time, understandably, around the Warriors and around kind of like this fading Steph Curry window. And that leads to you know, at times, panic moves that I think there's reasonable criticism about them not, you know, making the moves in the past. And maybe they should now, but there's a chance that they do, you know, pull the trigger on a move in the next couple months. And 2 years from now, we're like, man, they really ruined their future. You know, doing that. But at the same time, I can also understand people saying, hey, look, like, what future are you going to have without Steph Curry anyways? Try your best, and then you're going to end up rebuilding regardless.
Use the word desperate there. Speaking of desperate, Miami Dolphins with a desperation win over the San Francisco 49ers last week. Anthony Slater, noted Fins fan. I see they have a 6% chance to make round one of the NFL playoffs. They're not dead yet, Anthony.
Yeah, 6 is better than 0. That was a big win.
Such a great line. Good for you. Enjoy two of $60 million a year.
Soon to be Brock Purdy's.
Right. There are a lot of outs in that deal, by the way. Oh. So, and I assume, I mean, maybe the Niners will structure the Purdy deal similarly. But, you know, some of these NFL QB contracts and contracts in general, they're so fake. You know, you can just get out of them.
Mike McDaniel, by the way, after the game, chopping with Nick Bosa, saying, hey, I love South Beach.
Well, he said South Florida is nice.
Oh, South Florida's nice. There you go. Yeah. So, maybe a little.
He's not wrong.
There.
Bosa would probably like Florida. Huh?
He's from there.
He's from there. Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Okay.
Hey.
Well, they could use a DN. I'll say that.
There you go. Slates, we appreciate it, man.
Happy holidays, bro.
All right, fellas.
All right. That's Anthony Slater, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Joe Shasky, your takeaway from Slates there.
I mean, him and I are similarly aligned. Like, see, again, this is going to be very wordy. I don't see how trading one of the better players on your team for a marginal upgrade plus a bunch of other things
is too old
makes the Warriors better.
Preset of best.
It was good enough, I guess.
Like, you could sell me more on the Cam Johnson thing because he's like 28. Like, I get that. And he's a better fit for this team right now.
Okay.
But the Jimmy Butler, and he's not going to cost as much as Jimmy Butler's going to cost. And to your point, and to Anthony's point, just the future contract, I don't want to spend, like, I don't want to be tied to Jimmy Butler for 3 more years after this season. Right?
Let's say Steph wants Jimmy Butler. Steph wants Jimmy Butler. Okay, let's just hypothetically, in this hypothetical.
You wanted Avery Bradley at 1.2 instead of Gary Payton.
Look, I don't think you should bow down to any player in any sport. Like, I think there should be some collaboration. Like, should they have input? Absolutely, right? Yeah. But at the end of the day, the team's got to do what's good for the team, right? Mm-hmm. Period.
And if you're Stephen Curry, that's just a fascinating thing. Where he has right now, and let's be honest, he married himself to Draymond Green.
That's what
he was a big advocate for Draymond Green when his contract was up a couple seasons ago, and they paid Draymond after the whole entire saga with Jordan Poole took place. He shipped off Jordan Poole. He brought in Chris Paul, and now there's no Klay Thompson. It's just you. It's Draymond. It's Andrew Wiggins, the last remaining remnants of players that actually contributed to that championship. I know JK was there. I know Moses Moody was there. But actual contributors, Kevon Looney was standing. Like, that's not good enough anymore. But you kind of made this bed, Stephen Curry, and I don't think Steph's going to force his way out. Let me say it on the floor. I just don't see that. That's just not in his MO. He would have to do something that he just hasn't shown his whole career. LeBron has shown that he's not. He's a mercenary.
He's traded 118 players.
Correct. He doesn't care.
Apparently, as his time in the NBA, 118.
Is that what it is? Is that the number?
Was 118 players have been traded off LeBron's teams. Isn't that an incredible number?
Le GM, man. That's Le insane. GM. That's insane.
My favorite of the loves was LeBalco this morning. That was so good from Antonio and Oakland. No, but okay, so your Draymond Green point. So this is what I was going to say. If I told Warrior fans.
Happy LeBronica.
We're going hypotheticals, so just bear with me. Hypotheticals. Steph is demanding on playing with Jimmy Butler. And they go to you, the fans, and they say, who are you giving up? Andrew Wiggins or Draymond Green, because you have to match salaries. I, Joe Jaski, I'm taking Andrew Wiggins to keep, and I'm trading away Draymond Green. I don't even care if Miami will accept him or not or whatever. This is about winning championships now and moving forward.
888-957-9570. If trading for Jimmy Butler means you have to pick between Andrew Wiggins or Draymond Green, who's staying, who's going? 888-957-9570. Yeah, this is all hypothetical. We don't know. That was the big story yesterday, so you have to ask Anthony Slater about it. You woke up to the news, whether you have it's no longer Woj anymore. It's just Shams. He's just dominating this. Or it was Schefter and Mike Florio going back and forth. We'll get into that in the next hour. Our guy, Mike Florio, going at it with one Adam Schefter in regards to the NFL. But you woke up to the news of Shams Charania saying a report that Jimmy Butler wants to be traded before the NBA trade line. He does not want to be on the Miami Heat. Now, who is the president and GM over there? It's Pat Riley. He plays hardball. He doesn't care. Like, he is a guy that went at Jimmy this past summer, and the writing probably should have been on the wall then when Pat's going at him the way he was publicly, saying basically he should shut his mouth, telling Jimmy to shut up and talk about the playoffs if you're not a part of it. And Pat's from the old school. Did you watch Winning Time, by the way?
Yes.
And it was Adrian Brody, I think, portrayed
horrible,
him.
Horrible, yet also awesome.
Well, it's the thing. It was a caricature of the entire thing. So people that took it on face value, I think, need to take a step back. And it was art. It was all this. It was someone's interpretation.
You're telling me it wasn't real?
Oh, well, some people thought it was. People here in the Bay took it personally, the portrayal of one Jerry West, and just thought it was the most gross mischaracterization of one Jerry. Like, relax. No one thinks that this actor that's playing, I can't even think of the actor's name. He's not even so like, what are we doing? It's, come on.
Because people love to be triggered.
But I did think that Adrian Brody captured that tenacity of a Pat Riley. And we've seen the godfather, they call him, Pat Riley, make shrewd acquisitions, make shrewd moves. Hell, getting Jimmy Butler from the Sixers was a shrewd acquisition, and it paid off huge. They've gone to two finals runs with Jimmy Butler, one in the bubble and one a couple years ago. Obviously, they didn't get it done, but he's been a huge part of that. Eric Spoelstra, been a huge part of that. LeBron James at one point was a huge part of that. And what did Pat Riley do? He said, yeah, I'm not firing Eric Spoelstra, LeBron, because you want him fired. I'm keeping him. This is a guy that I have groomed and molded. Yeah. He's like a son to me. I'm paraphrasing here. That's kind of what the vision I got from him. And he told LeBron James, the best player maybe ever at his peak, to kick rocks. So, yeah, he'll tell Jimmy Butler to kick rocks, or he'll keep him because he doesn't really give a damn.
Well, but here's the thing. They will lose him in free agency for nothing at the end of this year. So they're actually in a very similar situation to what the Warriors had with Chris Paul and Clay last year leading up to the deadline. And I would ask you, did the Warriors maximize the expiring contract?